Deuteronomy 4, 1 to 2 and 6 to 9 is our text today. We have been in the Old Testament here during the summer. We actually began the summer with a text from Isaiah followed by a text from Deuteronomy, and we finish out the same way with a text from Isaiah last week and a text from Deuteronomy today. After this, we're going to be actually going, starting next week, turning to some of the epistles that are towards the end of the New Testament. So our epistle reading from the lectionary is first from James during September, and then Hebrews in October and November, finishing off with Jude as the last Sunday of the church year. So that's how we're going to be finishing out the church year here coming up. But today we have Deuteronomy, and our text today from Deuteronomy is tied to the text from Mark, which actually follows right on last week's text from Mark. They really go together, and there's a contrast in there between custom, some of it given by God, but some of it developed otherwise, and revelation from God. There's a contrast there that we find. And there's a tension in Scripture between the laws that are given and then also the gospel message that God gives, especially as we find that in the Old Testament. We find some of that contrast there and some of the tension between rules that God gives but God's saving grace. Our title today, as I said, is Never Forget. As you think about that, never forget, you might think, is there something, you know, reflect on this, is there something that comes to mind with that phrase, never forget? Well, first of all, what does that mean? Why would we say never forget? Well, why? It kind of means the same as always remember, doesn't it? But there's something that's a little bit stronger about never forget. It kind of acknowledges our ability, our tendency to forget things, even important things, right? So never forget is a little bit stronger than always remember, because we recognize, yeah, we're likely to forget. Never forget. Now, this can be something that's used in a general way for not forgetting things that are important. Maybe your parents taught you a lesson when you were younger, and they said, never forget that. You know, don't forget that. And maybe you never have, and you've remembered that lesson that you learned. But sometimes there's a specific event or occurrence or a place that is tied to this expression, never forget. A couple things that come to my mind. One is tied also to another very similar expression that is never again, is connected to the Holocaust that happened during World War II. You think about those phrases, never forget and never again, being used together to say we need to not forget that this happened and we need to make sure that it never happens again. Something like this, right? That's what's tied to that. Another one that's more recently that might come to your mind, especially if you're my age or older or maybe a little bit younger too, is from 9/11. That was a phrase that I remember hearing connected to that, especially right after that. Never forget. Well, we might ask the question, never forget what? What is it that we are supposed to never forget? Well, there might be different things related to that event on 9/11 as the planes crashed into the Twin Towers and into the Pentagon and the number of people that lost their lives. It might be to never forget those people. It might be to never forget what caused that. It might be, there might be a lot of different things. It might be also, and maybe this is where much of the focus went with that phrase, is never forget those who risked their lives, and some gave their lives to serve others, to try and save them. And some of them were successful and many were not. And in fact, there's a fund that is called, I think, the Never Forget Fund, that is all about remembering and taking care of those who lost people in that time. So never forget. As I said, sometimes used generally of important things, but sometimes really a focus on something very, very important, maybe an event or something like that. Deuteronomy, as we get to our text here today, is closing out, is the last book of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. It comes at the end of Moses' life, as Moses has been leading God's people, and we acknowledge the tradition of Moses being the author of those first five books of the Bible. That seems to be the case, that God, through Moses, inspired the writing of those books, and the Exodus through Deuteronomy were in his lifetime that he wrote those. So this comes at the end of Moses' life as the people are going to go into the promised land, and it's a reminder of God's covenant with them. And he encourages them to remember, to never forget what has been written down. And as we think about our text then, as we think about never forgetting, what is it that is in this covenant for them that they are to never forget? And what do we find for us? Because it has a message for us as well. And so we want to listen and be alert for that as we think about our text today. So Deuteronomy 4, 1 to 2 and 6 to 9. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 2 and 6 through 9. Reading in Jesus' name. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Observe them carefully. For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to this people so long ago, for them to remember the words that you had given and how it applied to them and how they could live their lives in that. Thank you that these words still speak to us today, although in a different situation and in a different way, but they still speak. And so as we hear them, please help us to listen and hear and take in what you would have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any kids that would like to come up, I'd invite you to come up now. All right, thanks for coming up. Hey, I've got a question for you that I want. What I want you to think about right now is different conversations that you might have with your parents, or different interaction with your parents. And what I want to ask you, first of all, is what are some things that your parents might have said to you that they want you to remember? What do you think? Clean your room. Okay, that might be one of them, right? Yeah, parents always want their kids to remember to clean their room. What else? What else would they want you to remember?
Don't talk at the dinner table.
You got a rule kind of like that, right? It's not no talking, but yeah. We want to have calm conversation, right? Practice that. What else? See, I'm clarifying here the rules that he's heard from you. I get the chance to do that. The other kids, parents don't necessarily get to do that. But what else? You have another thought?
Don't be annoying and annoy your parents.
Okay, yeah, don't annoy your parents. That might need some explaining too, maybe. I don't know. Might need context. Yeah.
No toys at the table.
Oh, no toys at the table. Okay. Okay. Oh, remember to clean up your spot. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of things that have to do with things that your parents want you to do, right? Do you think there are other things that your parents might want you to remember, too, that are not necessarily rules they've given you? And I'm being a little vague here. I want to see if you can get. Are there anything that you might think is a really good thing that your parents might want you to remember? What do you think?
Parents.
Remember them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They want you to recognize them, huh? Yeah, when you come downstairs in the morning and you see your mom and dad, they don't want you to think, "Oh, who are these strange people in my house?" Right? Remember them?
I forget.
Okay. What do you think? could come back. Do you remember it?
No.
You forget too? That's okay. Did you have another one?
I love you and Jesus
loves you. Oh, that's a good thing, yeah. So your parents might say, I love you and Jesus loves you, and they want you to remember that, right?
Bible.
Remember the Bible, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of different things that we might remember. What I've got for you today is not necessarily a particular thing, except this is kind of representative of some good things that we might have that might be a part of our lives, right? This looks like a family vacation. So that's kind of representative of the good things that we have that we can remember, right? And representative of the good things that maybe God has given us through our parents, right? And especially, it goes beyond just fun times in this life. It goes to all the teaching that we do find in the Bible, right? And I love you, right? Those kinds of things. It looks like, there's a little bit of activity going on in this car. That's probably normal for your vacations, right? If you have siblings, you probably have some activity going on in the car, right? There's one kid turning around to maybe poke another one, so maybe that's not the good part of the vacation, but it's there. So we're remembering here some of the good things that God has given for us to remember. It goes along with the instruction and rules, right? They go together. So would you like to hand some of those out? Can you hand some of those? Okay, thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats now. Well, there are a lot of things that we could either forget or remember that happen in life. Things that are instructions, things that are events, and all sorts of things that we could either remember or forget. In fact, we forget most of what happens in life. And in some ways, that's kind of good, because if you remembered what you did every day as a baby, it might be kind of boring, you know, sitting there not doing much, you know. So in some ways, forgetting is good. Even forgetting the bad things that have happened to us, sometimes that can help us forgive more easily as well. So there are some good things in forgetting. But we want to remember that there are also some good things in remembering, especially the important things. God in His Word gives a lot of laws and decrees, especially in the Old Testament. We find a lot of that. What is the purpose of this? And that's in particular the subject of our text today. As God is saying this to the Israelites, what is the purpose of these laws and decrees? Well, in particular for them, God is giving them a special, specific gift, which is the promised land that was promised to their ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so these laws as a whole that He is giving to them apply to that situation. As He is giving them possession of the land, He says, this is what you will follow in order to have a good life in this land. In order to enjoy the gift that I am giving you, this is what you need to follow. And He says, now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors is giving you. And then he points out, God's word is complete. What God is giving you here is what you need. Don't add to it. You don't need more. Don't take away from it. You need what He has given. Keep these commands. Now, as we look at these commands that are given, as we look at the whole commands that we find, all the way from Exodus to Deuteronomy, we find that there is a large mixture of laws in there that we have often, in order to understand them and see what is given there, we have broken down into three categories. So we have some that are moral laws, and we find that those apply at all times. Those are things that apply also to us. We find some civil laws that relate to getting along well with others. And those are not ones that we need to follow, but we can learn from them in ways that are good to get along with others. And we find some that are ceremonial laws. And those have to do with our relationship with God, with the people of Israel and their relationship with God and how they dealt with their wrongdoing and their rebellion. And in these, we learn something about who God is and something about our relationship with God. And these are developed later in the New Testament. And especially as we get to Hebrews later on in the fall, as we're looking at that, we'll hear some more of what that means and what that teaches us. And I would guess probably at least in one or two of the sessions in Daryl's class, that probably will be the topic as well. And we'll see a connection between what's given in the Old Testament and how we learn about our relationship with God from those laws, even though they're not things that we follow exactly. There is a purpose that is beyond those laws that is given that we want to get to. And we see that also, we'll make mention a little bit later of what we how we see that in the gospel text today. These laws point to God. And it's beyond also just our relationship with God. These, as we follow the instruction that God has given us, and for us it's a little bit different than exactly what they were given back then, but as we follow God's word and what is written in it, we find that this demonstrates wisdom to others. It's for those beyond us as well. Observe them carefully, our text says, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Others will see what they see acted out. And for us, that's through the church, right? If we follow, if we trust God's word and follow Him through the church, people will say, wow, look at the wisdom of following this God who does these amazing things and who has given these amazing gifts to people. Now, think about this in the context of Israel. Others will see and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, called a great nation. Now, Israel never was big. Israel was always kind of puny back then, even now. The nation of Israel, which isn't exactly the same thing, but it's a small area of land. Even under David and Solomon, where the empire extended beyond, between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River and up north of that, as it extended beyond the promised land, it still was really not that big compared to other empires through the course of history. But a greater nation, as it followed God, a greater nation than any other because of who their God is and who they serve. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? In fact, other gods are nothing at all. And so the difference between them and the true God is infinite. They don't exist, but the true God is near those that are part of His nation, part of His family. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? If they followed them well, people would say, wow, that is a great law. Those are great rules of following. It works well if they did that. Others did have laws, and some of them were often very reasonable. You may have learned in history about Hammurabi and the Code of Hammurabi and one of the earliest written laws that we find back in Mesopotamia, in Babylon, in that area. And you might read about that. It was actually a fairly good set of laws in many ways for that time. But none as good as this complete moral, civil, and ceremonial law given to the people of Israel. And of course, as we think about this, the law of God or God's word extends beyond simply rules and regulations. It extends also to the word of grace that He gives, the gift of His grace, the good news of God's gift that already was gift way back then for them, right? As we think about their story, which we'll get to in a moment here. The word of God, the law of God, transcends just the law, and it also transcends just that time in history of the nation of Israel. It extends also to us. Because it's not just the laws given, it is the events and the history that are described. And as we find towards the end of our text then, it says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Excuse me. A couple of verses that we skipped in there were basically a brief summary of an event of judgment that had happened not long before Moses is writing all of this. Many of the people, as they were camped in the country of Moab, many of the people started worshiping Baal, the particular god Baal that they worshiped in that area. And many of them were destroyed because of following and worshiping that false god. There are other events that are recounted in Deuteronomy as Moses reminds the people of what had happened. Many of the younger ones would not remember the events because the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness that was punishment, that itself was an event that they could remember. But before that, some of the older ones would have been children back then, so it was the adults that were alive that weren't allowed to go into the promised land. But the kids that were alive at that time, maybe now as they are older adults, would remember being at Mount Sinai, seeing the display of God's glory and power, hearing His voice, audibly hearing His voice, give the Ten Commandments from the mountain. They heard that. Even better than that is the rescue from Egypt, the rescue from slavery, being trapped at the Red Sea, and being able to cross on dry ground. And as Moses writes this, really only a few of them, only the very oldest of them who were very young at the time could remember that happened. But Moses says, no, these words, these things, God speaking on the mountain, that was also to you, even the ones that had not been born yet. He was speaking to you because you are part of this people. And He gave you these gifts of freedom to you, even if you were just born recently. God, the gifts are to you. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. What would happen later? As we read the history of Israel, we would find that it seems like every other generation would turn away from God. The children didn't learn the message well. Maybe that's because Jerusalem was a long way to travel to hear the word. Maybe that was because everybody didn't have a Bible. They couldn't do that. They couldn't hear. Maybe it was because the things that were around them were too tempting to take them away. But, you know, the risks are the same today. Even though we have the Bible easily before us, it can be so easy to ignore it. And we find that they would often need to be brought back to God. They did not follow well. I saw as I was looking at a news article, you know how you read and you find then all these different suggestions below it for other things that you could read? Most of them are just distractions. I found a title that said, History Repeats Itself. Actually, it said some number of images that show that history repeats itself. Well, I'm sure it does. I didn't click on it because I knew that was going to be a rabbit trail that would take me forever to get out of. Maybe interesting, but I didn't go there. But the truth is there, right? History repeats itself because we forget. Because we forget. We do so easily. The religious leaders, as I mentioned last week, as the people of Israel went into exile, it in some ways cured them from turning to false gods. But as they came back and they were reconstituted as a nation, the Pharisees came out of that, in a sense wanting to keep the people true. But they didn't learn the full lesson about the heart. And so they did, in a way, add to the commands that God had given. And sometimes they did take away. And Jesus' message that we heard at the end of the text this morning, that it's not really, the point is not really those outward civil and ceremonial commands, but it's the heart. And that's where we find the moral law really applying, is in the heart. That's what defiles a person, whatever is happening in their heart. And so we do have from God further revelation. The message of Jesus and what He has done for us, that He has revealed to us. If we think about, as I mentioned, 9/11 and this idea of never forget, part of what is meant by that never forget, maybe most of it, maybe, is this idea of the sacrifice that people gave, especially rather than running away from danger, running to danger, to serve others, to save others. Never forget. And there's a similar thing that we are encouraged to never forget. We haven't gotten there yet in Deuteronomy. It's hinted at as we read through the books of the Old Testament. But we get to that in Jesus. Never forget the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Don't forget. Don't forget the things that are connected to it. Don't forget. Never forget the reason for that. Because sometimes we can do that. We can forget that the reason for it is because of our rebellion. And if we forget that, then it becomes meaningless. Why did He even do it? We can sometimes forget the application of it. Two, forgiveness for everyone. And we can turn to thinking that we need to earn salvation for ourselves. We can forget that easily. Never forget. It's a free gift from God. If we drift, if we forget, if we end up in legalism, trying to live up to God's law and somehow try to earn His favor that way, or if we end up on the other end, we come to this cheap grace where we believe that, well, God is just love anyway, and I don't really need to think about what he did. He's just forgiving me anyway. If we end up in either one of those places, it is good to remember. Never forget what Jesus did for us. It's easy for us to forget, but God has given us the means of grace, as we describe them. The means of grace. In his word, we have written the life of Jesus. Everything is focused on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. From Adam to the end of Revelation, that is the point. And we have his word given to us. In baptism, we have the visual of cleansing, the water cleansing the soul. God's word is working through the water, through the event of baptism to cleanse. In communion, we have the reminder of our sin and of repentance and of Christ's forgiveness as we share in his body and blood. And we get to partake of that today. And that's a reminder. And it's one of those things that allows us to never forget. The means of grace are a constant reminder to us of what Jesus has done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you that you encourage us to remember, as you encouraged your people Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, to remember what you had done and what the life that you were calling them to live. So too, help us to remember who you call us to be as we trust in Jesus as our Savior, as we hear and believe what he has done for us in his life, death, and resurrection. Thank you that we get to be reminded of those. Thank you for the communion that we get to celebrate and partake of together in a few moments, that we get to be reminded to remember what Jesus did for us. I ask that you would help us never to forget, but trust in you always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.